in our presence and encourage you to study with us. Good to have some who are family back with us. We're grateful that you're here this morning. If you take your Bible and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 21, that's where we'll begin in just a moment. And while you're getting settled and getting your Bible, we want to let you know that in a few moments that Brother Simpkins will be standing and leading the song that he suggested. And while he's leading that song, we'll be praying within our heart that if you've never been baptized, that you'd make your way to the front and let your request be made known, that you'd like to be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, to have every sin blotted out and to be added to the family of God, or if you need to be restored, we'll be praying that you would do so this very morning. In 2 Samuel 21, I want to read one verse to get the thought for our study, and that's in verse 10. Now Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock from the beginning of harvest until the late rains poured on them from heavens, and she did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. When you read in this chapter from this part of the Old Testament, we find pressed into one little sentence one of the most dramatic and pathetic events that ever took place. There was a famine in the days of David, and David wanted to know why. That famine had lasted 3 years, and so David goes to the God of heaven and asks, why is this occurring? And the Lord told him that in the days of Saul, he mistreated the Gibeonites. Now, you recall in the days of Joshua, in the book of Joshua and the 9th chapter, that the Israelites had made a covenant with the Gibeonites and swore to protect them. And now, when Saul was king, Saul decided to ignore that covenant, and in his zeal or anger, he walked roughly over the Gibeonites. And so the Lord told David to make amends and to atone for this great event that Saul did, that there must be a sacrifice made or something to appease the Gibeonites. And so David quietly sent men to the Gibeonites to make peace with them and to know what they must do to correct this wrong. And when you read in 2 Samuel 21, they do not ask for silver, they do not ask for gold, but behind all of this you can still see their anger. They wanted David to send 7 sons of Saul. And I want you to think about, they're wanting the descendants of Saul so that they could exact revenge on what Saul did to their people. And they're going to hang 7 sons of Saul up on a hillside. And when you read in your Bible in verse 9, that's exactly what they do. When David delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, they hanged them on the hill before the Lord. So they fell, all 7 together, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley's harvest. Think about what it must have been like when they took those 7 men and hung them on the hillside. And there their bodies were, and the Gibeonites are celebrating. But can you imagine, as twilight comes, there was a little woman who came out, and she's the mother of several of the sons, a concubine of Saul, and her name is Rizpah. And notice, she weeps over her boys, and she is in sackcloth, which is a sign of mourning in the Bible, and she stays for several months to stay off the beast and the birds that would tear away the flesh of her children. Can you imagine, though the sons had died and though their body is beginning to decay, she would make sure that none of the animals ate of their bodies. That is a mother's love. Now, someone may stop and ask questions of 3 different groups. You may look at the 7 sons of Saul and ask them, what are you doing up on the hill of Gibeah today? And they could say, well, our father sinned, and we're here. We didn't have anything to do with it, but we are here. It reminds you of the passage in Leviticus chapter 26. In Leviticus 26 and in verse 39, the divine revelation says, and those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity, in your enemies' lands, and in their father's iniquities, which are with them, they shall waste. Now, I want you to recognize it was not for their sins they're suffering, but they suffered the consequences of their father Saul. And just like we suffer the consequences of the fall of Adam and Eve. Now, we did not inherit their sin. That is taught to us in Ezekiel 18:20, that the Son bears His own sin and the Father bears His own sin. But we did have to endure the consequence of the sin of Adam and Eve. And so here is Saul's descendants, and they are being punished not for something they did, but because of the sin of Saul. That's why they are there. And the Gibeonites would say, "We are here to watch it." The seven sons are there because of the sin of Saul, and the Gibeonites are here, and they would say, "We are here for revenge. We want to see them die. We had a grudge to settle, and we're getting it done in our way." No, they were not on the hill for the same reason the seven sons were there. They were there because they had revenge in their heart. They wanted to get even. But I want you to look at the third person. Have you ever thought of that woman identified as Rizpah? And you might ask, "Why are you here?" And you know why she would say? A mother's love. That's it. What more can one say? But that a mother would take for months to drive away birds and beasts of the field so that they would not rest on the bodies of her son. And day and night she watched over the bodies of her children. I want to take that, make application in the lesson series. The first thing I want to bring to our mind is that we need to think about our mothers and we need to be thankful for our mothers. If our mother was a godly woman, we need to be thankful. You know, some people are not blessed to have a godly mother. Some people had a mother that only criticized and belittled and maybe even abused their children. And I'll tell you something, my friend, it doesn't take anything for a woman to have a baby, but to be a mother means that you care and nurture that baby. And I've seen a lot of women who've had children, but they didn't love the child. They didn't take care of the child. They didn't provide for the child. And I'll tell you something, that's a sorry state of being. And it could be that you've had to endure that as a child. And I'll tell you, I'm sorry you had to endure that. But if you had a godly mother, you need to be thankful. Because not everyone had one. If you had a mother that brought you up and taught you right from wrong and disciplined you and made you come to worship, even when you didn't want to, she did it because she loved you. Have you ever stopped to thank your mother? Why would a mother fuss with a teenager who doesn't want to go to services? Because she loves them. Why would a mother do the things that she does to sacrifice for her children? Because she loves them. And I'll tell you something. A mother's love grows deep. But there's a third thing I want to bring to your mind. We need to be careful how we evaluate other mothers. Sometimes when we get older, we look at the younger mothers and we say, "I can't believe they let their children do that." Can I say something in all kindness and yet candor? You know what happens with time? We forget what our children are like. And we get in our mind that our children just sat there perfectly quiet and perfectly still, never moved a muscle. Well, maybe your children were asleep. Or maybe your children were on tranquilizers. But I'll tell you, most children are going to move. And I'll tell you, sometimes we can be so critical when young mothers are trying to train their children. And when they're trying to train their children, we ought to be thankful. You ever thought that maybe they've got two or three or four or five and they're trying to handle all five and we're sitting up there, we don't have any. Why not go back and hold one for one if you're going to complain? Help them out. We need to encourage young mothers. We need to be there to help young mothers. And I'll tell you, my friend, I'm so thankful for the young mothers here at Eastside who are trying to bring their children up in love and nurture. And along with the fathers, they're trying to teach them right from wrong. They're investing in their future. They're investing in their spiritual needs. They're investing in knowing what is right and wrong and trying to teach them the difference between what God says and what man says. They're trying to teach them to live righteous in a wicked world. And I'll tell you something, that's a battle today. It's been a battle in every generation, but I'll tell you, it's more of a battle today than ever before. But that brings up another thought. When was the last time we thanked our mother? Now, sometimes we wait too late. But I'll tell you, my friend, we need to be thankful if our mother loved us and guided us and cared for us. And we need to tell. But I want you to think of one last thought before we close our lesson. I want you to go to another hillside. And this one is called the Hill of Calvary. And I want you to think about there stood Mary, the mother of Jesus, as she watched her son die. And you may ask Jesus, why are you here? He would say, not for my sins, but for your sins. I'm here because I love you. And you could ask Mary, why are you there? I'm there watching my son die. But I know who he is because the angel Gabriel told me that I should name him Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And when you stop and think about what Jesus is doing there, you see the greatest love there ever was. As great as a mother's love may be, I'll tell you, my friend, nothing supersedes the love of God for man. In Isaiah 66, he said, I love is as a mother's love. But it's even greater than a mother's love. Don't ever confuse God's love for a parent's love. If your parents didn't treat you right, don't ever confuse God for your parents. God's love is pure. God's love is holy. God's love is that which can sustain us even when nothing else seems to be going right. And when I look at the cross of Calvary and I lift up my heels, my eyes to the hills, and I think about the hill of Calvary, I think about the fact that Jesus was there at the will of His Father to take away my sin. And I think, what love. What love. I'll never forget the day that my mother died. I always thought when I was young, wouldn't it be something in the day of judgment if your mama could be your judge? Who's more loving than your mom? I tell you, there's someone more loving than your mother. That's your heavenly Father. And His Son, who willingly died for you. Today we celebrate mothers, and that's something that we should do all the time. But I'll tell you something, this is the Lord's Day. And we celebrate His love. Because He demonstrated it by the giving of His only begotten Son upon the cross. No greater love has man than to lay down his life for another. Mothers would do that. Jesus did do it so that you could be saved. It's ironic. An instrument of death was used to give us life and life more abundantly. And if you're not right with God, I'll tell you something. You're missing the greatest love there is, the love of God and the love of His Son. And what you need to do is get in a right relationship with God so you can reciprocate the love He's shown us. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we pray it comes.